Thank you, Master, in Jesus' precious name. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 15. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 15. He said, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, he sent once and again, unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody say aloud, amen. He shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm speaking on the subject supernatural supply. In times of uncertainty and scarcity. Supernatural supply. In times of uncertainty and scarcity. Our objective is to understand the God of supernatural supplies. That's first. And then, understanding the secrets of supply in times of uncertainty and scarcity or austerity. Want to understand the God of supernatural supplies? Want to understand the secrets of supply in times of uncertainty and scarcity? It is clear through scripture that we serve the God of supernatural supplies, who enacted the covenant of supernatural supplies. We serve the God of supernatural supplies. He created the heavens and the earth without any loan from the bank. He stuffed the earth with resources. Inexhaustible resources that we can never exhaust in our lifetime on the earth. Scripture is littered with examples of his supply capacity. Even in adverse and uncertain times. Like, you know, we are in a country today where the times are so uncertain. Where scarcity and shortage is everywhere. Going through this subject, we are going to look at it and understand the God we serve under about 6 or 7 headings. Number one, God is the covenant provider and supplier. He is the God of covenant provision and supplies. He is a covenant provider, a covenant supplier, according to scripture. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 to 22. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not see. That's covenant. For as long as there is the seed time, there will be the harvest time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 6 to 7. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. So God is the covenant provider and supplier. He is the God of covenant provision and supplies. He is covenant bound to provide. He is covenant bound to supply. Number two. God is the God of supernatural supplies. In adverse times, he is the God of supernatural supplies in adverse times. There are human beings who are good to you at some times, but God is good to you all the time. In Psalm 33 and in verse 18 to verse 19, he said, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. I don't abandon them in famine. Read that again. 18 and 19. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. That is, you are not permitted to be swallowed by any famine on earth. You are not permitted to be consumed by any scarcity on the earth. You are not permitted to be devoured when others are devoured. He is the God of supernatural supplies in adverse times. Number three, God is the God who prospered his covenant people in times of famine. Just now we saw the scripture, and now we are going to see practical example of how God prospered his covenant people in times of famine. Our example in this service is Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12 verse 10, the Bible said there was famine in the land. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Famine everywhere. Famine everywhere. You move to verse 13, chapter 13 from verse 1 and 2. There was famine in the land. Abraham went into the land of Egypt to sojourn because the famine was very grievous. It was very terrible, very dangerous. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife. Chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in the midst of famine. People were struggling for what to eat and what to drink. In the middle of that, Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold in the land of famine. Somebody say amen. Somebody say the covenant works. Say it, say the covenant works. Say it louder, say the covenant works. You look at the life of Jacob. There was a terrible famine. If you remember the story of Jacob and his children in the land of Canaan, when Jacob sent his children to go to the land of Egypt to look for food. I'm sure you remember the story. And they met Joseph, and Joseph interacted with them, and Joseph recognized them. and Joseph decided to return their money back to them. How many of you remember? When they returned back home, every one of them saw their money at the sack of their mouth, and so on and so forth. Now, when they returned back, Joseph had held back Benjamin. He put his cup and so on. He held back his brother and so on. Now, look at what happened when Jacob was sending them back to Egypt. In Genesis 43, verse 11 to verse 12. That's Jacob now. The second example here is Jacob. And their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels. Now, this is a time of famine. People are looking for food to eat. This man was talking about the best fruit in the land to take to Pharaoh. In the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present. A little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. People were looking for what to eat. This one was not looking for what to eat. He was only looking for variety. See this. He said, and take double money in your hand. People were looking for money. This one had enough money to give them double of whatever they had. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sack, carry it again. That is money times three. Take double money. Take the money that you brought back. Carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. If the food is being bought for 1,000 naira, take 2,000. Plus the 1,000 you brought, 3,000. This is how covenant people function. In the midst of adversity. This is how God works. He is the God who prospered his covenant people. Took care of them in the midst of scarcity. And we are not just talking about God who just did that, but he also protects. I prophesy to someone here today, in the name that is above every name, Jesus the resurrected Lord. When men say they are cast down, you shall be saying there is a lifting up. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. Now, I read something many years ago. He said, in times like this, it is important to know that there has always been times like this. There is nothing new under the sun. In times like this, it is important to note that there has always been times like this. The kind of scarcity and shortage we have experienced, Abraham experienced it in his time. He didn't feel it. Jacob experienced it in his time. He didn't feel it. Others experienced them in history. The kind of tension, insecurity, and all the things we see. For my God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory. Somebody say aloud, amen. Look at your neighbor, say, nothing is new under the sun. There has always been times like this. That is why he said, no temptation has taken you except what is common to man. Look at your neighbor, say, it is common. Whatever you have seen, whatever you have experienced, whatever the devil is saying around you, it is common. Ay, 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 ay. He said, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, to escape so that you may be able to bear it. Look at your neighbor, say, it is common. In times like this, it is always important to note that there has always been times like this. God is the God who prospered his covenant people in times of famine. Number four, God is the God of supernatural supplies from unbelievable sources. He can supply supernaturally from unbelievable sources. Places and sources you never believe supplies can come from. For example, first example, he brought water from the rock and manna from above for Israel in the wilderness. Water out of the rock. Supernatural supply from unbelievable sources. Water from the rock, manna from above. In Psalm 78, verse 19 to 29. Psalm 78, verse 19 to 29. Yea, God spake. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, water from the rock, and the streams overflow. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord was heard this, and he was wroth, so fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Ay, 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 ay. Man did eat angels' food. Manna. He sent them meat to the fool. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations. So they did eat, and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. God is the God of supernatural supplies from unbelievable sources. Water from the rock, manna from above, quails from the sea. Is God speaking to somebody here? Many times we are limited because we are looking onto the sources that we are familiar with. We are looking onto avenues that we can calculate. We calculate that if something must happen, this is where it can happen from. But he said, I can give you supplies from sources you can't believe. And I decree in this season of scarcity in our land and in our nation, somebody is about to experience supplies from places you have never imagined they could come from. You believe that? Shout the loudest amen. Maybe I'm not talking to everybody, I'm talking to somebody in particular here. Something is about to happen to you from a quarter, from an angle, from a source you never believed possible. God, who is the God of supplies from unbelievable places, is about to blow your mind. You believe that? Shout the loudest amen. Look at your neighbor, say, it shall happen. Say to somebody, say, it shall happen. From places you never believed. From places you didn't think possible. Give him the shout of praise as you take your seat. He's a God of supplies from unbelievable sources. Our first example is water from the rock and manna from above for Israel in the wilderness. Our second example is the catch of fishes. Or rather the Peter's catch of the fish with the coin. The fish with the coin. The fish with the coin. Nobody knew that God could supply Peter and the master tax money from a fish's mouth. In Matthew chapter 17 verse 27, Jesus Christ sent Peter to the sea, and Peter went, notwithstanding lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them. For me and for thee. Out of the mouth of the fish, the tax money came. If God can bring money out of the mouth of a fish, where can he not bring supply from? Where can he not bring supply from? Where can he not bring supply from? How many of you are going to say today, I refuse to limit God in my life. I refuse to limit God in my life. I refuse to limit God in my life. Say anything positive. Say it. Anything positive can happen to me, can happen for me from anywhere at all. That is, God is a God of supernatural supplies from unbelievable sources. Number five, God is the God of supernatural multiplication of resources. Apart from supplying from unbelievable sources, he has the capacity to multiply what you have. a God of multiplication, a God of supernatural multiplication of resources. We saw that in the widow of Zarephath, again in the days of famine. In 1 Kings chapter 17, and in verse 13, all the way to verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 13, all the way to verse 16. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for you and for your son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is spake by Elijah. Food multiplied. The food refused to finish. It just continued to multiply. 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 Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say loud amen. When we married newly, we experienced something like this. You remember? Before our first child was ever born, somebody brought us food. I think it was rice or something. Bag of rice. And we decided to tithe out of it. We tithed everything. We tithed the rice and gave out and gave to people. Now we began to eat the rice. It couldn't finish. It just could not finish. It came to the point where we became afraid. So we had to dash the whole thing. We carried the balance and gave it out. What kind of finishless food is this? It couldn't finish. As if it was a bottomless pit. The more you fetched it, the more it remained. What you see in scripture is true. The barrel of meal could not finish. It continued to multiply. We serve the God of multiplication. We serve the God of supernatural multiplication. I announce to someone here today, in this season, you are going to experience multiplication like never before. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Look at somebody by yourself and say, tell them get ready for supernatural multiplication. Tell them God is about to multiply something around your life. Give the Lord a shout of praise as you take your seat. Our second example, of course, you know the example of the transformation of water to wine in the wedding of Cana of Galilee. That was a multiplication miracle. Some may not understand, but it was a multiplication miracle. In John chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. We saw how they needed wine and his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he said unto you, do. Long story made short, they brought the wine, the water, and the water turned to wine. I told you the chemistry before. Water is H2O. That's H2O. And wine is C6. If it is glucose-based, C6H12O6. That is the chemical formula of anything that is sweet, that is glucose-based. So it turned H2O into C6. H12O6. Do you understand that now? That you can see inside this C6, H12O6, H2O is inside. Just that you multiply it by 6. If you multiply H2O by 6, it gives you H12O6. And then the C6, so he multiplied what they had and added what they lacked. He multiplied the water and added the carbon. Do you understand? That was the miracle that happened there. It was a multiplication plus addition miracle. That is how God functions. He will multiply what you have and add what you lack. Every time, He will multiply what you have, He will add what you lack. If you have it, He multiplies it. If you lack it, He adds it. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say loud amen. That is a multiplication miracle. And what I'm saying right now shall be fulfilled in accuracy in the life of somebody. In this season, in our nation, God is about to multiply the good things we have and add the good things we lack. In your personal life and family, God is about to multiply the things you have, the good things you have, and add the good things that you lack. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Lift your hands and say, I serve the God of supernatural multiplication. He is about to multiply something in my life. Shout the loudest, amen. Stand up on your feet, and before you sit down, and just tell somebody something. Tell them, God is about to multiply what you have and add what you lack. Is it hard? He's about to multiply what you have and add what you lack. Alright, tell it to three people. God is about to multiply what you have and add what you lack. He's about to multiply. Say it like prophecy. Say it to three people. God is about to multiply what you have and add what you lack. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. I want you to help me walk to seven people in advance and shake hands with them and tell them congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. Because God is about to multiply what you have and add what you lack. Mahashata kalaya dagaya dayalala huzada. Repete kese kike libre di galaya husadi galaya taratasa. Lepe rete kese kukuba galagaya da hasatila. Repe ferete situradi gagalala. Give the Lord a big clap and a loud shout of praise. And under the next 7 days, someone shall be here with a testimony. If you are that one, you will say a louder amen. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Give him a louder shout of victory. Now, how do we experience supernatural supplies in times of uncertainty, adversity, scarcity, austerity? How do we experience supernatural supplies? Number one, continually look up to God. Continually. Continually look up to God. Maintain confidence in God. Continually. In adverse times, continually look up to God. One, continually look up to God. Jeremiah chapter 17. And in verse 5 to verse 8, he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. He shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land that is not inhabited. That's the man who looks up to man. But blessed is that man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river. He shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit as he placed his confidence in God. Psalm 34 and in verse 5, he said, they looked up to him and they were enlightened, even in the midst of adversity, scarcity and shortage, and their faces were not ashamed. Their faces were not ashamed. Listen, continually looking up to God is the secret of thriving in all seasons. Thriving. Continually looking up to God is the secret of thriving. Thriving instead of drying up. Thriving in all seasons. Continually look up to God. Maintain confidence in God. Number two, secret is continually looking up to God. Number two, active covenant practice. Active. We read already Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Adversity notwithstanding. Scarcity notwithstanding. Amoshakopa. Laws are laws under all circumstances. 2 + 2 = 4 in rainy season. 2 + 2 = 4 in dry season. 2 + 2 = 4 in English language. 2 + 2 = 4 in Urobo language. Am I communicating? Language does not change it. Season does not change it. Nothing changes it. Principles are principles under all conditions. Laws are laws under all circumstances. And I want to say this. There are people who reduce their covenant practice maybe because times are bad. No, that's a great mistake. The best time to practice the covenant is when it is difficult to practice it. That was what Elijah taught the widow of Zarephath. I am about to eat the last meal and die. He said, no, don't eat it and die. Release out of what you want to eat and die. And you realize that you can't die because you released it. Please note that the covenant is a covering against the adverse climates of life. The covenant is a covering against the adverse climates of life. So to be out of the covenant is to be out of the covering. When times are hard, when situations are tough, and you say, I cannot do the things I normally do anymore. I can't put God first in my resources anymore. I cannot do my practice of givings anymore. When you are out of the covenant, you are out of the covering of the covenant. It's a covering against the adverse climates of life. Active covenant practice is key to thriving in adverse times. Evidence is superior to argument. We are talking of what we have proved for 30-something years now. Number 3 is connection to divine direction. In adverse times, what is God saying to me? What is God saying? What should I do? Divine direction, especially in adversity, is key to divine provision. That is God speaking to you, guiding you, what to do, steps to take, moves to make, where to invest, where to divest. Divine direction. This is where to put the money. This is where to pull out the money from. In adverse times. Somebody say amen. The widow of Zarephath, 1 Kings 17, verse 13 to 16, where we just read, God sustained because she heard. God spoke through the prophet and she heard. And she hearkened to what she heard. That direction established her provision. Elijah also, second example here, in 1 Kings 17:3-6, God speaking to Elijah said, get thee hence. And turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook according to the word of the Lord. According to the word of the Lord. Divine direction will always provoke divine provision. I speak to someone here today. In this season we are in, may God cause you to hear his voice. Say amen. The voice of God can bring you provision. The voice of God can also bring you preservation. The voice of God can rescue you from premature termination of life. I announce to you today, in the season we are in, may God cause you to hear his voice. In the season we are in, may no devil take you by surprise. In the season we are in, may God cause you to hear his voice. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. In louder believers, amen. Finally, number four, maintaining the attitude of gratitude and praise. In times of adversity, the attitude of gratitude and praise. Every time joy dries up, everything dries up. Joel chapter 1 verse 11 and 12, you remember the Joel chapter 1 verse 11 and 12? Joel, be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen. How? O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, the fig tree languishing, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and all, and the apple tree. Even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. When things are drying up around you, never allow your joy to dry. Otherwise, when the joy dries, everything dries up completely. In John chapter 6 verse 11 to 12, when Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he multiplied, he irrigated it with thanks. He irrigated it with praise. And it multiplies. It multiplied. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes as much as the wool. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Out of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, food for 5,000 men, beside women and children, was made available until 5 baskets were filled. Listen, gratitude is a breaker of hard grounds in times of adversity. It's a breaker. It's a breaker. It breaks hard ground. The scripture talks about the breaker has come and they have broken through. One of those breakers is gratitude, is appreciation, is praise. When things are hard and difficult and you are still able to praise God, then you are set to break grounds and to step into your destiny. It's a new day for somebody. Can that somebody say a loud amen? Who will be ready to give God 7 minutes of praise? To break any hard grounds. In the middle of this praise, anything is possible. In the middle of this praise, healings will take place, deliverances will take place, miracles will take place, supernatural supplies, and whatever the enemy has kept from you that is yours will be released. Stand up on your feet with a shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. The special shout of praise. Look at your neighbor and say, nothing can dry up around me. I am a praiser. I am a worshiper. Everything around my life is flourishing. Nothing can dry up around me. Everything is flourishing. Just 3 people around you, tell them I want to praise God. What about you? Let's go. Let's go. Hit the road running.
Oh God, you are not a people.
Somebody celebrate the King of Kings. I want you to think of the gift of life and the gift of health and the gift of strength. In addition to that, think of the miracles ahead. Think of the testimonies you are trusting God to share and dance an advanced dance. Think of the miracle of Nigeria, because God can't leave us like this. Every time God appears silent, he does not confirm approval. Most times it's a danger sign. Every time it appears as if God is quiet, it's a danger sign. When Reuben messed up, God didn't answer him. He kept quiet. Reuben thought God was happy. Reuben thought his father was happy. Until the day came. And Jacob looked at Reuben and said, Reuben. Genesis chapter 49. Verse 3, Reuben, You thought I forgot. You are my firstborn. You are meant to be my might. The beginning of my strength. The excellency of dignity. And the excellency of power. But you are unstable like water. You will not excel. Because you went to your father's bed. You defile it. You went to my couch. Gone. All right. He scattered Reuben. What is Reuben? Nothing. Who is the firstborn of Jacob? Reuben. But what about, what did he become? Nothing. The Bible said his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph. It's better for God to deal with you on the spot than for him to keep quiet. It's better for him to deal with you now than to just be watching you. That is, by the time I get ready to deal with you, so the quietness of God is never approval. It's an ominous sign. Bad omen. There are wicked people who think God is quiet and there is approval. No way. Watch and see. When Nebuchadnezzar molded the image of himself and said everybody should worship him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship him. He sent them to the fire. God delivered them from the fire. But he left, he saw Nebuchadnezzar and kept quiet. You are the one that people should worship, not me. Let's see. He left him in chapter 3. Chapter 4, God returned and said, I am here for you. I send you to the bush as an animal. The last time you messed up, I said nothing. Now you have not even done any new thing, but I want to deal with you. Say, no matter how much hand joined to hand, the wicked cannot go unpunished. There is no matter how hard the wicked tries, they can't go unpunished. I want you to dance some judgmental dance, some vengeance dance as well. I want you to dance some victory dance, some breakthrough dance, some divine intervention dance. And everyone who is joining hand to do evil, when judgment arrives, you cannot be spared. It doesn't matter whether you go to church or not. Because there are people who go to church who are involved in the evil. I saw it by revelation. And in that revelation, I said, oh, so these people are not even hearing everything that is being said in this season. I saw judgment, heavy judgment coming. Physical and spiritual. People in chains like this. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? We're going to dance. You are a youth copper. You graduate as a youth copper. And for years you are jobless. And yet you assist the same people who cause your joblessness. To extend and perpetuate your joblessness. You are a university professor. For 8 months you are at home talking of salary. Yet you are sent to do job. You are still assisting those who will keep you for the next maybe another 8 years. You are police. You are complaining of condition of service. And yet they send you on duty. You are assisting those who will still worsen your condition of service and send you to be killed in front of many bandits. Let us all do our work well. Everyone. Because everybody will be answerable to God sooner or later. There are things I may say. You walk in Inec. Do your work well and maintain the good name of an organization. Otherwise, the time may come when if you call the name of where you are working, it's like a plague. These are the people that brought this nation into this problem. If you don't wake up to rescue your image, the time may come where people, you may not even be able to mention the name of where you work. Where do you work? One of the government. Which particular one? It's one of those ones. Which particular one? God will help us. God will help us. But see, the wicked can never go unpunished. Never. I'd like you to dance victory praise, vengeance praise, judgmental praise. Dance and celebrate all of it right now. Let's go. One, two, go.
You are God. You are God. You are God.
Lord, Lord, Lord.
For you. When praise goes up, power comes down. When praise goes up, power comes down. Lift your hands and receive what this praise has brought for you. Open your mouth and pray right now. And receive it, receive it, receive it. Receive it, receive it, receive it. When praise goes up, power comes down. When Paul and Silas praised, power fell in the prison until the prison doors were open and yokes were broken. Lift your hands high, and when I say in the name of Jesus, you scream power and place a hand on your head. Father, let it flow. Let it flow. Let the power flow. Let the power flow. Let it change somebody's life and somebody's story right now. In the name of Jesus! Receive, receive. Receive, receive. Open your mouth, receive, receive. Receive, receive. Receive, receive. Power! 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 your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Father, we give you the praise. Wherever you are this morning, the most crucial thing for you is a life handed over, surrender to Jesus. You want your sins forgiven? You want today to mark a new day in your life? Place your hand on your chest and pray this prayer after me. Everywhere you are, and pray this prayer after me. Don't sit down yet. Pray after me. Surrender your life to Jesus. Have your sins forgiven. And say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.